Lord, we surrender to you. We are thankful to you, Lord. We need more of your presence. We need more of your joy. We need confidence, God, that you're going to bring us through everything that's going on in this world right now, God. But without you, Jesus, we have nothing. Without you, Jesus, there's no chance. But with you, God, you've showed us in the last few weeks, God, what you can do when a church prays. So, God, we thank you. I am thankful today. I don't know if y'all are, but I am thankful that the church is arising and awakening. I am thankful that the church is praying once again. Not that they ever stopped, but really going after things, believing things that are not as though they were. Amen. Believing for, you know, God wants us to believe for impossible things. Amen. Is that true? Is that true? And what happens when we believe for impossible things? We get them. We get them. I'm going to go to Psalm 100. Just go there if you would. I want to tell you a little story. This made my week. Y'all know Autumn. How many of y'all know little Autumn? Sweet little Autumn. I really love her. Her mama came in here Wednesday and got to pray with her. And she said, you know something? And Autumn wouldn't care if I told you this. She would tell you. But her mom says, I'm going to tell you something. I have never, ever, ever seen a change in a person like I've seen in Autumn. She was depressed. She was rejected. Not because she was, but just because of people, you know. People in schools that mess with you and bully you or whatever you want to call it. I don't know why you would, but anyway, she said she is a totally different person. She smiles, she's happy, and that was quite a testimony to God's goodness, you know. But above that, she said, I said, well, what do you need prayer for? She said, well, a couple of weeks ago, I had a dog that died of parvo, and now my little... I was a chihuahua. It was called, wasn't Taco. What was it, Donna? Tamale. Okay, I'm sorry. And we're having chili today. But anyway, not with tamale. Praise God. But anyway, she said she's got it now. She's at the vet. And if they can do anything, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. I'm thinking, well, bye. You know, but people love their animals a lot, you know, so understand that. She said they're not giving her much hope at all. And she just went in, I guess, that morning. She took her in, and she couldn't eat. She was sick. I said, well, let's pray for her. And I could tell that it was like, okay. I said, no. I said, don't you think God can do anything? Yeah, look what God did for Autumn. Don't you think God can heal this animal? Yeah. She said, well, yeah, I reckon he could. I said, well, let's ask. So we prayed that animal would be healed. Amen. Not in a week or a month or get better through medicine and doctor's bills, that animal would recover quickly. And there would not be lots of bills. Best way to do this is I won't be accurate if I don't do this. Y'all give me a second. Yeah, certainly. I don't want to put words that aren't there. If I can even find it. Well, I know what's in there. Her name's Savannah. That should be... No, her mom. It was her mom that came in here. Okay, it's on a phone number. Her name's not in there. Anyway, I'll try to get it close as I can. I got a text. See, it was Thursday. We prayed Wednesday, and I got a text Thursday and said, oh, you'll never guess what happened. The vet just called and said there is no more parvo. That animal is completely healed. And since the animal didn't have to spend but one night, it wasn't going to cost hardly anything. And she said, this is just amazing. She just kept texting stuff like, I don't believe this. And she just kept corresponding. And I know this didn't happen, but I want you to know something. She said, what time is church Sunday? She never wanted to come to church, but she recognizes, and you may not, you know, that may not happen the first time, but that's what's going to build the kingdom of God. Miracles are going to shake people and get people, like I say, you don't always, you've got good intentions and they don't always happen. Because I know for myself that I don't get out of the habit of going to church because guess what? I'm going to be here every week unless I'm almost dead because it's my responsibility and I want to be here. But just pray, Lord, we pray for Savannah, God, the work of God that you showed her and her family, God, that you would bring them out, God, in Jesus' name. I had three other ladies from Food Pantry. They really, they said, I will be there. I will be there Sunday. Well, they're not, but that's okay. God knows their heart, and God is moving. And we're going to get to serve. We're going to get to serve all these people. It's a December... Week from Saturday, we're going to have a banquet for them. Now, nobody's RSVP'd yet, have they? They have. How many? Nine? Praise God. If it was only nine or ten, it'd be worth it. But you're going to get a chance, if you want, to go around these tables and pray for these people because they're used to getting prayer. When they come in here, they're used to getting prayer. But to just bless them and tell them you love them and serve them, and that's what Jesus would do, right? So, y'all got Psalm 100? I'm sure you got it a long time ago. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. I want to just read this. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he, the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. Amen. So I was looking at that this week. And I thought about Thanksgiving. What's Thanksgiving like at y'all's place? Do y'all have people over? Do you go to family's house? Or how many of y'all go to somebody else's house? Praise God. How many of y'all have it at your house? Praise God. What's that day like usually? Is it a day of turmoil? Is it a day of having to endure people that you... No, really, it can be like that sometimes, can't it? It's not always a time of Thanksgiving, is it? I'm just being honest. It's not always. And I praise God that our government, I couldn't tell you who set that up or when it was set up. I guess I should know that, but it's a national holiday the government set up. Does anybody know who ordained that? Don't start Googling. I just thought somebody might know. Anyway, I think it's wonderful that our government set a day apart where we are thankful to God for what he's done for our nation. Guess what? You're not free because of the devil. You didn't get freedom in America because of Satan. You didn't get freedom in America because of Buddha. You didn't get freedom in America because of Allah. You got freedom in America because of Jesus and His blood. Praise the Lord. Is that true? So Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the reason we have Thanksgiving. Now you don't have to be a Christian to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to get the fullness of why we are thankful, you need to know those things. So I broke this down just a little bit. And it won't take long because it's only one psalm. What, five verses? So when we come to church, we're supposed to come to the church in thanksgiving, aren't we? We're always supposed to come here with thanksgiving. So it says, make a joyful noise. And that led a joyful shout. And that shout is what? Ruah. Ruah. It's ruah. That's what it is. A war cry, a cry of alarm, a cry of victory and triumph over our enemies. To shout in applause to the Lord. So, you know, I love when we give testimonies. And I know God loves to hear us be thankful for what God has done. But I also know that He is not interested in your golf claps. Wow, Jesus, you really move. Praise God. You really move. Wait, He's trying to make the putt. Ruah! Somebody jumped on that one. A war cry, a cry of alarm, a signal for battle, triumph over the enemies. It's like gloating over your enemy. It's like, we won. There's Mike. Mike Beal's not here. He must be mourning. But the thing is, it's like me, okay, in the natural. I'm a UK fan. You're an IU fan. You're a Florida fan. But there ain't nothing I can... I detest worse than U of L, okay? No. And so when we beat them, it's like, rah! Even though I don't do it because I need to be politically correct in church and make everybody happy, but you know where I'm coming from. And the same for you, right? Now, Janet, I know you don't get excited about that, but see, I still have sin in my life, and I do sometimes, but the thing is, man, when you're into that, like Florida, they made a comeback, didn't they? Well, yeah. I'm glad you got faith, brother. You know they would have been finished if Kentucky got them. No, I don't want to hear them from the peanut gallery. I don't wear no U of L stuff. No, you can say it. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to say that it don't matter what sports team we like, as long as we're on the same team as that right there.
Amen. Amen. You're exactly right. You're exactly. How many of y'all? Okay, Melissa, you'd be more honest than Chuck would. What's it like? No. What's it like around the house when he's watching football? Is he quietly, like when they screw up or... they score a touchdown, do they like, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. What's it like?
You want to
leave the house. Now see, that's how I used to get about Donna knows, man. I used to beat that coffee table and yell, and I thought they could hear me. You know, I thought the players could hear me and get what I'm telling them to do. That's how excited I got about that stuff. And it might be cars for you. What? Somebody give me your passion. Hold up your hand. Give me your passion. Besides, don't say Jesus, okay? We know that, but yes. Football. Do you get excited about it? Do you yell about it? What were you saying? You like what?
To eat.
To eat? I get excited about eating too. Yeah. That's right, but what do you get? Do you get excited about something besides Jesus? Anybody, you get excited about anything. What's that? Sales, Kohl's, you know, whatever. Yeah. Kentucky for sure. There's a man after my own heart.
I'm a martial artist. I'm a UFC. I'm sorry. That's just me.
Martial art, WWF, is
no.
What? No, no. No, no, he's excited. UFC, right? Okay. Yes. What? Oh, yeah, concerts. Whoa. Whoa.
Monster Bucks.
What's that?
Monster
Bucks. Oh, Monster Bucks.
Yeah.
I thought you was talking about Bucks or something. Monster, you do. This guy's even got his own YouTube channel because he loves to hunt. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Roller coasters? Me too. I love roller coasters. But Donna can tell you, I used to get, before Jesus, I still enjoy basketball games, okay? I still enjoy them. But before Jesus, she can tell you I would beat and holler and scream and cuss. And if they lost on a Friday or whatever, Saturday, it would ruin my whole weekend. Because I knew I had to go face my enemies on Monday morning. You know what I mean? Because it was like ruah. They would throw it in your face, triumph, rah. So I think God built us to get excited about things. I really do, but we have mischanneled them. Channeled, that's a bad word. We have misdirected them. I don't know if it's a bad word if you use it in the right context. Anyway. So it says, make a joyful what? Shout. Ruah, noise to the Lord, right? So what? What's the first thing we do? We make a shout. We make a shout. Make a shout. Just a shout. Just make a shout. You're a big man. Make a shout.
Go Cats.
Say it loud. Like you mean it. Like you mean it.
Football's going all the way this year in Kentucky, buddy. That's
the
best I can
say basketball. Okay, okay. So we make a shout to the Lord for what he's done, right? And then it says, after you shout and celebrate and have thanksgiving, it says what? It says, serve. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve means to labor, to work, to serve another by labor, to serve as subjects. That means like, waiters, that means like he's king and I'm a peasant, you know? Really, it means to serve. If you just shout about something and you never get involved in the work of God, you must not really be too excited about building the kingdom. You think? Hello? Y'all think that? Okay. So you shout, you make a joyful noise, you shout, you serve. And then it says, come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. And I watch y'all. Y'all get into worship, man. A lot of y'all are just lost out there. And that's what God wants. Praise God. He likes it when you get lost in it. What are some things that keep you from getting lost in his presence and lost in worship and lost in his... What's some things that stop that? Oh, distractions. She's pointing to two children. Distractions. Yes. Exactly. Necessary, but Yes.
You know what's the thing that actually makes me laugh? Movies.
What makes you distracted, though, when you're worshiping? Anything? Angry Birds?
No. Thinking about my biological mother's abortion.
Yeah, that would make you lose track, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anybody else? What's something that makes you lose track?
If I come in here and I've got stuff on my mind that I don't want to press in, sometimes I just have to make a decision. You know what, hey, all this other stuff, this is about you wanting to break. But I got to purposely do it, and I'm just going to fall.
Amen. This is practical stuff. What's ways that you, and y'all know much about it or more than I do, what's some ways you can beat off, you can knock down and kill that negative thoughts and those doubts and those, even those, sometimes you're thinking about good, the boy, I can't wait till this afternoon I'm going to, or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. What's some ways to, how, what tools has God given us to defeat that? What was that? Praying. Looking at the cross in the name of Jesus. Remembering what somebody else. The name of Jesus. Yes. Train your mind, which involves what? Discipline. I think Dave Hogan one time, he said something similar to that. He said, discipline, it's a word they just added to the dictionary last week. That's something that's really been lost in the church. Discipline. Discipline of fasting, discipline of prayer time, discipline of Bible study. And you wonder why you can be high as a mountain one second, then you can be low as a septic tank the next. It's because you have no faith comes by hearing, and we know where the hearing is from, the Word of God. And God's, you know, I'm talking to me. He's really stirred me lately to get back into a deeper Bible study and reading the Bible again. I mean, not that I ever stopped, but when you do it to get a sermon together, it's not the same as doing it to feed yourself. If you don't feed yourself, you're going to get sick. Eventually, you're going to die. Yes?
You got to dump yourself, because if you don't dump it, then stuff's inside you. And even if you put it in the back of your mind when you come in here, if you don't clear it and take it to the foot of the cross and just say, flush it, and just get it out of there so he can come in, then it's still there. It's still taking up space. There's still taking up space in your body and your mind. You got to kind of dump it.
Amen, and I agree with that. Did you hear what he said? To dump those worries and fears to the Lord, right? But you know what? I'm thinking about setting up a confessional booth right here. I'm gonna put a little screen here, and you can come up and you can tell me what kind of sin you got in your life, and we can pray about it. Now, I'm not getting on my Catholic brothers and sisters at all, because they took something biblical and maybe twisted it the wrong way, but it says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. So it's good to have somebody you can call and trust if you need prayer, and you can call them and they'll pray for you right there. How many of y'all ever have people call you up and they're dumping on you? I shouldn't say that. They're laying their burdens down on you. Have you ever had that happen? You know, the biggest mistake you can do is go, why? Poor baby. It really is the biggest mistake you can. You can be sympathetic. You should be kind and nice and sweet. But if you don't go after God to get rid of that thing, if you don't go after God to break that stronghold, you ain't done nothing. You just come into agreement with the bad report. The enemy's been filling their head with it all day, and now you're agreeing with it. Well, yeah, I think I might do that too. I'll give you an example. A young person No, I won't do that because somebody will know who it was. But that's okay. No, no, you can come into stuff. Never mind. It's not important. So we come before his presence with singing. We serve the Lord with gladness. Well, first we shout a joyful. What'd you say it said in your word? Mine said shout, but joyful noise. Serve the Lord, work for the Lord. And then it's in verse 3, or not verse 3, but the third thing is know that the Lord, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. And what does know mean? It means to know by experience. It's to acknowledge, it's to confess, to consider, it's to be acquainted with. And it says here in the Strong's to know a person carnally. Y'all know what that means?
Yeah.
Like Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. So he wants us to know him. He wants us to be intimate with him. Really, there should be nothing in our life more intimate than our relationship with Jesus. It's not always like that, but that should be the way it is. So to know, to be intimately acquainted that the Lord, which is translated Yahweh, y'all know what Yahweh means? Well, we put an A in, we put vowels in there, but in the Hebrew, they don't even believe you can pronounce it because it's that holy. But he has given us grace where we can do that. But Yahweh means the self-existent one. That kind of tears down that, but who made God? Hey, Yahweh. He was, he is, he always will be. But what about this? Yahweh. Yahweh. That, you can always say Yahweh, self-existent one. Eternal one, the eternal name of God, the Lord. The Lord, he is God, and God is Elohim, ruler, judge, divine one, the one true God. Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God who created everything from nothing. The Lord God who brought everything into existence. The Lord, you owe every breath of air to him. The Lord who has done everything for you. So you got to acknowledge that. And I just hate it when our young people go to school and they're told, no, it's all an accident. You're a divine accident. You're a goofy accident. You come from a monkey. You know, I mean, that's just not true. That's not true. I said that is not true.
Right.
Evolution is a lie. And I know y'all had that planted in you. I know because they did it when I was in school. But you got to have some, you got to make sense of something you don't believe. Does that make sense? If you don't believe that something, somebody, a supreme being spoke and it was, he spoke and it was created, if you can't believe that, you got to make up some fairy tale. I still love technology, always and forever. I got no problem with science either, by the way. In fact, they used to think that the scientists, did you know the scientists used to think the Earth was square? And it was flat, and you were not square, it was flat, and if you sailed far enough on the ocean, you'd drop off. Now that was science. Have you noticed through the years how many times they've changed their mind about things they said was truth? Coffee's bad for your heart. Coffee's good for your heart. Coffee's bad for your heart. More coffee's good for your heart. It's like I've heard that 40 different times in the last 6 years. Now, what is it today? I don't know. You know what they're finding? You know what they're finding now? This is crazy. Cholesterol will kill you. Cholesterol will kill you. Cholesterol will kill you. And now they're finding out if you don't get cholesterol, your brain starts dying. They're finding out that some of these drugs they're giving people is killing their brains and causing Alzheimer's. This is science at its best. Practicing medicine, exactly. I'd much rather the Holy One heal me. I'm not against doctors. Not at all. I just don't rely on them. They're only doing, they're practicing. They're practicing. I mean, Lord, He created me. He knows exactly what I need, right? Okay, well, you got to know Him. I'm closing almost. Make a joyful shout. Serve and work for the Lord. Know that He is God. Know that He is Yahweh Elohim. And then we recognize it is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then it says, enter, come in, be brought into His gates, His opening. You know, we talked about gates last week. There's gates let things in and gate keep things out. So gates, we got to open those gates of thanksgiving. And when we do that, we can enter into His courts, which is, what's a court? It's like you're in a walled city like Jerusalem. You walk in there and you're protected and you're safe from all evil. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you're untouchable. So you've got to praise. You've got to give thanksgiving. But you want to, right? You want to. You got to make it a point to press in and do that. Like, I'm going in even if nobody else ain't. I'm going in even if nobody else will. How many was y'all at youth group the other night? A couple, three of you? It's our turn now. Something's going to change. Y'all remember that? We watch a Carmen video and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They don't do that no more. Whoa. And it's, you know, it showed them, it was incredible. Powerful video of young people raising up and praying in the school. And it started spreading like wildfire into revival. And I saw in their faces, it's like, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. But you've been told it can't happen, it can't happen, it can't happen. It's against the law, it's against the law, it's against the law. Shut up. Shut up. I told them in homeschool, you guys go to a co-op. God should be moving mightily in co-op. I'm not saying He's not, but I'd say it's a generic thing sometimes. Is it? It's not what God has designed. Man, for a place like that where Jesus can be freely talked about, God should be exploding in that place and spilling over into Floyd Central and spilling over into North Harrison and spilling over into East and West Washington, all the New Albany, all the places where we need God to move. We got to have a move of God. We've got to have a move of God. We've got to have a move of God. It started out, I can't sing it and I won't try, but the ball got dropped in 62. The government took prayer from school. And then the next year, President Kennedy was assassinated. And then a year or two later, they made abortion legal. And then, you know, the biggest crime in school was chewing gum, and maybe somebody got in a fist fight, you know, but things have drastically changed. We are in need of a revival. We have a chance, man. There's a chance. If we'll pray it in, there's a chance for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, which I've been praying for and voting for ever since I've been a born-again Christian. I've been boycotting places that didn't come into agreement with that. But the power is going to be to pray it in and pray it through and pray it in and pray it through. And intercessors are going to have to arise. And those of us that think we're not intercessors, we need to wake up and know that we are. And we're sinning if we're not praying for our nation. And we're sinning if we're not praying for our president. And we're sinning if we're not praying for our Supreme Court. Did you know he could speak in their ear and they could go, whoa, I'm born again. I mean, the most liberal, demonic, Jezebel spirit in that Supreme Court could be turned around just like that. And they could come back to sanity. Really? No kidding. They could really come back to sanity. And then it says, be thankful to him, capital H, and bless his name. Bless Yahweh, bless Jesus. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truths endure to what? Not just in the 50s and the 60s and the Jesus movement, not just in the charismatic renewal movement, not back in the healing revival. No, now, all generations, it's time to awake. It's not too late. God will pour out his blessings on this nation. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. Thought I saw visions of bucks running through your head. Okay. Bucks, big bucks. That was me. I messed that one up. So let's give thanks with passion. Let's give thanks with passion. I want y'all to go up there and play a little worship. We're going to have prayer and we're going to have testimonies. Don't sing anything, just a nice little, unless you'd rather put in a CD, I don't care. We're thankful for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's given us, and we don't even realize. And we need to be thankful for all the times. How many times do you know, heathen, that you should have been killed in that car? You should have been killed on that motorcycle. You should have been killed from a drug overdose. You should have been killed. Bam, 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 bam. You need to be thankful for all the times he delivered you and you didn't even know it.
That's right.
You didn't even know it. Angels watching over me, every move I make. I love that song. A careless driver run out of gas before he ran out. Now, I want you to get up and dance while I sing that, Caleb. I saw that, man. That was good stuff back then. Well, in Jesus' name, while y'all are playing a little bit, it's your turn now. And I want to hear some passion. Things are going to change. Who's got a testimony that you can get excited about? I don't want to hear something, well, I'm sick and I'm still sick, but I'm not sicker. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear a testimony. What's God done? What's God promised you? What's he promised he's going to do? Come on, come on. Hey, is that really what you want? Oh. You know, if we pray that, you're going to wake up and there's going to be a pony under your tree. And on the carpet. You want a horse. Yeah.
I got one.
Go ahead.
The other day I was talking to my mom, and she began to cry. And I said, what's the matter, Mom? She said today she was doing her devotions, and it was talking about where, you know, I have called you from the ends of the earth. And she said, you know what, Charlie? And she can call me Charlie, so don't let everybody think that they can't in here, okay?
Yeah,
just
Charlie.
My mom. Just my mom. She said, you know what, Charlie? She said, almost 40 years ago, I was told that I was dead. And she was. She said, you know, they had cancer from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And she said, but my God that I serve is greater. My mom just turned 84 years old. She was told this, you know, like I said, 40 years ago. And I thank God that, you know, he's still on that throne and he still heals. And I'm thankful that he, you know, he saved my mom.
Praise the Lord.
He saved my mom from death. And I was able to grow up with a mom and, you know, a praying mom that God stomped out the devil's plans for my mom's life.
Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Wait a minute. We need to practice a shout. Y'all don't quite have a shout down, I don't think. Okay, on three, I want to shout. One, two, three. Whoa! Sorry about that. Sense of ears be gone in Jesus' name. Yeah, well, I have one over here, but yeah, I'm in this area. Yes, ma'am.
Years ago, I prayed for my daughter to come in. She came in. I've been praying for this one for 30-something years. Look who's sitting by me.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, that reminds me of the scripture, do not grow weary in well-doing. Did you have something?
This is old testimony that a lot of you have already heard before, but a lot of new people haven't heard it, and I can only tell it when Greg's not here because he gets embarrassed. But when we first, before we got married, when we first got married, Greg, we were, neither one of us were following Jesus, but Greg was spending every weekend at the bar, like a rent's worth of money. He was going to the bar every weekend, and wasn't doing anything bad against me, but he was just, you know, not doing what he should be as a grown man who's married. And anyway, so he was at the bar a lot, and he'd be out with his friends every weekend, and I'd be sitting at home praying he didn't die this weekend. And one evening, I called him when it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I called him, and I just felt something bad, and I said, please come home. I said, I'm literally on my knees in the bedroom, please come home. And he said, well, I'm gonna go out to Waffle House first, because that's where you go after the bar, and I'm gonna go to Waffle House first, and I'm gonna come home. And so I dropped to my knees right then after he hung up, and I prayed, God, do something drastic, because he's not going to open his eyes and he's not going to listen to me. Do something drastic to change him, not change who he was, but to change this behavior. And then I got so upset, I decided I'm just going to leave for work. I would go to Walmart for a couple hours before I have to go into Louisville for work. And I went to Walmart in New Albany, and I was coming back down Mount Tabor Road, and there was a car accident, and it was a van in a down in a creek bed. You couldn't even, so far down the embankment, you couldn't even see it. And I just knew in my heart that was Greg and his friend's van. And I called the dispatch, 911, and all she would tell me was, you need to go to the hospital. And I kept telling her, is he okay? Is he alive? She kept saying, honey, shut up and go to the hospital. She wouldn't tell me anything over the phone. And I got to the hospital. The nurses wouldn't tell me anything. They just said, well, he's here. He's alive. That's all I can tell you. And he broke several bones in his foot, and he, a lot of other things happened to him, and they said that he'd never walk without a cane, and if he did, he'd always walk with a really pronounced limp. And so now, that was in 2009, and he does not walk with a limp, he does not walk with a cane, he does not have any pain, he does not have any issues, and he doesn't go to the bar anymore, so praise
Jesus. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You had one?
Something God had promised me was a job. Make my own money. Without him in my life, I wouldn't have that job. So.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Our granddaughter's been sick, and they just kept giving her more medicine, and steroids, and breathing treatments, and so Buster felt led for us to go over Wednesday night, and we laid on her floor and just prayed over her, and throughout the night, and she woke up Thursday, and they took her to the doctor's again, dehydrated, and by Wednesday or Thursday afternoon, she was well, and she. Her mom was her birthday's next week, so she's talking about presents, and her mom was teasing her, so maybe I'll ask everybody to give me money for your medicine, and she said, I don't need medicine, God heals me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I
Yeah.
I prayed with a guy. He's our bell ringer over at
Salvation Army.
Yeah, so he's a bell ringer, and he's a pretty cool guy. Anyway, talking to him, he's got a lot of issues and different things. But last year I prayed, and I hadn't seen him but twice this year. And the second time I seen him this year, he said, "Hey, you know when you prayed for my shoulders?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "I haven't had a lick of problem ever since."
Praise the Lord.
We give God the glory, and God's been taking care of him.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to take communion, and I want families to, if you don't have a family here, come here. Well, Donna and I will take communion with you, or you can choose anybody you want. But I have one more praise. I almost forgot it. We were really, really, really low on canned goods and food at the food pantry. We were going to be in trouble Wednesday. And so we weren't going to get much food at Dare to Care either. I knew that. So I went in my office, which I don't go in there real often, but the little light was flashing. And there was a message on there, and it was from Greenville School. And they said, we've been collecting food and wondered if y'all'd like some of it. And so I called her back on the way. I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." I went in there. My truck was piled up. The bed was piled up high. There was so much food. We got half of it, and half of it Salvation Army got. But I praise God, because there was thousands of dollars worth of food they gave us. So I'm just, we were thankful. So praise the Lord for that. So you can serve the communion to them in their chairs or whatever, however you want to do it. But I do want you to do one thing. When you take communion, I just want you to let out a shout because, and know who made it possible for you to take communion. It was Jesus.